Hello and welcome back to Resistance-Free Selling. We're talking about how to influence without rejection, without any resistance. And today we're going to get into sales power tools. You're in sales. You're talking to people. Other salespeople that you notice are doing a lot better. What are they doing that you're not doing? What are the power tools? What do I mean by power tools? Well, if I'm asking you to chop down a tree and give you a pocket knife, you could probably do it. Might take you 5 years, but you could probably do it. You could figure it out on your own. You could work hard, but I don't think that's what you want. Would you rather have an axe, or even better, a chainsaw, or even better, a stick of dynamite, or even better, a backhoe? Those are the power tools we're going to be talking about. And so let's give you a few of those power tools that will really help you out. Just some minor adjustments that you can make right now to be more persuasive and to sell more. The first one we notice as I monitor and I look at top salespeople is they have learned to give options. Remember, when you back someone to a corner, when somebody senses you're going to try to persuade them to do something, even though they need it, want it, like it, and can afford it, they were going to resist you. And what we have found that when you can learn to give two or three different options, not 112, but two or three different options, they feel autonomous, or they feel that they're able to make the choice, then it's much more persuasive. But do make sure that all three choices or two choices win for you. Don't give them a choice that you don't want them to pick. Give them two or three choices, and you don't really care which one they choose as long as they choose one of those choices. And that's the key. Let them choose. But only 2 to 3 options, not 112 options, not 10 options, but 2 to 3 options. People want to be able to choose. But an elderly lady that her doctor told her to take her medication with dinner. She didn't do it. Her kids told her to do it. She wouldn't do it. Everyone's telling her to do it. She wouldn't do it. They finally took her to another doctor, and this doctor smiled and said, okay, here's the medication. You get to choose. You want to take it with your breakfast or your dinner. Doctor didn't care. It didn't matter, but she was able to choose, and it made everything better. But the critical factor here is just limit the choices. They've done studies with jams and jellies, and here, try the 17. Which one do you like the best? Can't do it. Hey, smell the 14 perfumes. Which one do you like the best? Can't do it. Your brain can only remember 2, 3, sometimes 4 things, maybe 5 things on a good day. I was talking to someone who was doing mutual funds, was an investment counselor, selling financial investments. And he'd bring somebody in and say, okay, you need to do this and do this. What are your investment strategies? Okay, let me put some things together and we'll meet next week. And next week he would reveal the 72 mutual funds that fit their investment criteria. Hello, brain can't handle that. An overwhelmed brain says no. A confused brain says no. Too much information. You have to learn to give those options. Another power tool we know is the great persuaders, great salespeople, is that they know how to inoculate. What is that? You are pre-solving the objections. Remember we talked about that objections can be really bad. It's like hitting a tree because your presentation keeps going and they are stuck. Learn to inoculate. Learn to pre-solve the objections before they happen. Learn to anticipate resistance. If you know another salesperson's going to be there and say something negative about your product, you need to prepare them for that. Look, yep, they'll talk about it so-and-so. Yeah, they'll say it's too expensive, but you know what? It is top line. Oh, they'll say there is more maintenance, but the reality is when you look at the numbers, it's going to save you $1,000 a year. You have to give them the ammunition to fight that objection or what they are going to say. Inoculation is a medical term. You are giving them a weak form of the disease to combat a bigger form of the disease. You don't want to list the 50 things the other person might say because that's too much, and they're going to say no to everyone. So your goal is to anticipate resistance. Your goal is not to have the objection. Pre-solve it before it even happens. For example, a lawyer goes into the courtroom and says, you know what? They're going to call my client mean, ugly, weird, and a bad member of society, and that is all true. But that's not why they're on trial today. The other side, if they try to attempt that or try it, it does not have the same sting. Your children or future children will be approached by drug dealers. You just let it happen or do you inoculate them? You say, you know what? They're going to make you feel stupid. They're going to give you free samples. They're going to make you feel weird. They're going to do this and this. That's preparing them, and you're doing the same thing. Again, don't overwhelm. Don't give them too much. Don't give them the whole disease. And present both sides. You'll come across as more credible and more competent. Another power tool is the presupposition. We know, if you ever study the law of expectations, that if you're going door to door and you wipe your feet, chances will increase you can go into the house. If you hand someone a pen with a contract, it increases the percent of the times they are going to sign it. What a presupposition does is you're assuming the sale. You are talking like it's already sold. You are helping them visualize they have already bought it and they're using it, they're enjoying the benefits, and it's already solved all their problems. For example, you're really going to love how this car handles in the mountains. Presupposing they already have the car and they're driving in the mountains and they're loving it, wind in their hair, describe it as best you can. When do you want the couch sent? Presupposes that they have bought the couch. This is critical, the way you talk. They're already using it. They're already enjoying the benefits. It's already solved their problems. You see, there's real estate agents all the time. Where would you put your grand piano? Kids, go pick out your rooms. Where's the place that's going to go? Okay, great. When you entertain here and this is going to happen and when you have a party, this is going to happen, you're presupposing. Presuppositions can be very powerful. Most salespeople we notice do not tend to talk that way, but top producers do because it's a subconscious thing. It's already happened. It makes the decision easier. Then there's humor. Does humor matter? Spend a lot of time studying humor, and there's a direct correlation between your ability to get someone to laugh or smile and for your ability to persuade them. Now, you don't have to be a stand-up comedian. You can borrow a story or a joke, give them credit. You just get them to smile, get them to feel better about themselves. It works. Because humor will also boost your confidence. It creates a positive environment. We've talked about moods, and mood matters. When people are in a positive mood, through humor or other means, they're easier to persuade. They recall positive things. It increases their mental participation. It becomes more memorable to them. They'll remember you more. Increases likability. Humor is important. Practice it. I mean, you look at multi-million-dollar contracts and you interview them. Why did you go with them instead of them? Oh, I liked them better. And you dig a little deeper. They made them feel good. They made them laugh. A little humor. This is something you can do. Great salespeople. People want to be around. They laugh. They smile. They feel good. It matters. Because even when you use humor during your sales presentation, it generates more interest in what you're saying, helps them sense a little more of your goodwill, and again, they tend to listen a lot more. John Cleese said it best. He says, if I can get you to laugh with me, you like me better, which makes you more open to my ideas, and if I can persuade you to laugh at the particular point I make by laughing at it, you acknowledge its truth. Think about that. Because the use of humor can divert your audience's attention from negative thoughts, or can counter an argument that is playing in their minds. Humor can distract your audience's tendency to overanalyze your message. Humor can even win over and disarm your audience. And deep down, people hope and expect to be entertained while they're listening. If they're not listening, they're not going to be persuaded. Your audience, whether it be one person or 100 people, will appreciate a moment to smile or laugh in this serious world they live in. See, when you understand the value of humor, it gives you great leverage. So understand how it works. Use it in an ethical way. As you become more and more skilled at incorporating humor into your presentations, you will discover that humor almost always has a place. But do remember, practice your humor because they're either going to laugh with you or feel sorry for you. Think about that. Here's an interesting one. It has a long name. Don't let it scare you. It's called reciprocal concessions. We teach this in negotiation. Basically, bottom line, it's also part of reciprocity. When someone persuades you to change your mind, they will be inclined to do the same. What does that mean? If you're talking to somebody and they say, what about this? What about that? And they try to persuade you to do something and give them a better deal or try to persuade you to do something, the more you resist, the more they're going to resist. What this means is if you can let them persuade you on a minor issue, on an issue that doesn't matter, on something you don't care about, when you need to persuade them at the very end, they are easier to persuade. Bottom line, you resist, they resist. If you get persuaded, they're easy to persuade. Simple thing, long name, and this is especially very important in negotiations. If you don't give in a little, they're not going to give in a little. If you don't let them persuade you, they are not going to let you persuade them. Next one I want you to work on is your VBC. What is that? Well, let me tell you. It's your verbal business card. When people ask, hey, what do you do for a living? The door is opening for a potential customer. See, everybody you meet can do business with you or know somebody that can. And when they say, what do you do for a living? You say, oh, I'm in real estate. I'm in sales. I'm in fill in the blank, blah, blah, blah. Nobody cares. They just opened the door and you blew it. So if you can create, call it an elevator pitch. I don't know if I like that word, but you have about 30 seconds to grab their attention and you want them to say, whoa, tell me more. Now, if they're not interested, they're not interested, but some of them will be, or somebody will know somebody that's interested. What do you do for a living? Now, we always teach you to ask a question with a question, but nobody does. Your goal with that is to get them to ask you about what you do and how you do it. Tell me more. Is that possible? Really? That's what you're looking for. So they say, hey, what do you do for a living? They ask me. I say, have you ever had a prospect that wanted your product, needed your product, liked your product, could afford your product, but they didn't buy from you? And you didn't make your sales quota? And you weren't able to take care of your family? I make sure that doesn't happen. Now, if they say nothing, they're not in sales, they're not interested, it doesn't matter. They say, whoa, how do you do that? Then we are on the right track. So try to create something that you can say in the first 30 seconds to grab people's attention. Part of it's employing the Zeigarnik effect. What is that? It comes from a Russian psychologist. Probably don't need to know that. Probably don't even know how to spell it. But this is what we're finding out. And this is important when you leave messages on the phone. That we remember things that are unfinished. So if you're leaving a message, hey, I found that thing you were looking for. Or, hey, give me a call. I found the solution. If you can leave something unfinished, people remember it more. Just like the news. You ever watch the news? Hey, you know, your water's probably killing you. Stay tuned. And they go to commercial. You were about to turn it off. Or the movie on TV right before the commercial, the knife comes up. It's unfinished. People stick around. That's why they do it. So when you leave voice messages, when you talk to people, or you do your verbal business card, you get them to ask more about it, they're asking about it, they are easier to persuade and they remember it more. So let's map out a great verbal business card. And it spells out act now, because you need to do it now. You need to start talking to more people now. What does it mean? Grab their attention. What can you say? What statistic can you drop? What can you do to grab their attention so they're listening, they're paying full attention? Then you need to connect. We do business with people we like or that are like us, that are similar to us. Can you connect in that time? Can they feel like, I like this person? Remember, 95% of all persuasion involves a subconscious trigger. So in this first 30 seconds, it could be a color, your smell, the way you're dressed, a gesture, a word choice is all going to affect your ability to connect. Can you do it in 30 seconds? Or are you doing a data dump? Are you vomiting on them? Nobody likes vomit. Get it done. Grab their attention. You don't need to tell them everything. Just the one thing that'll grab their attention. And what's the next step? Ask you for more, get a business card, refer somebody to you. And a little outrageous, a little memorable, something way out there. That's okay. Most people like that. And then what's in it for me? We've heard that before is, and then there's the WIIFM, or what's in it for me? We've heard that before, but sometimes a lot of people don't incorporate that. Some examples. One that I used. Have you ever had a prospect or customer that wanted your product, needed your product, could afford your product, but did not buy from you? I guarantee that'll never happen again. Similar to the first one I told you. I help entrepreneurs make an extra $2,000 a week when they're marketing and their ability to close a sale. But if I stop, I help entrepreneurs make an extra $2,000 a week and just shut up. They're an entrepreneur. They're going to say, how do you do that? And that opens the door. Have you ever wanted to achieve financial independence? What has taken so long? I show people how easy it is. And get people to say, well, how do you do that? I make millionaires on the internet. I make millionaires in real estate. I make millionaires, and you can fill in the blank. That might be one that you can use. The key here is in your response. You want them to respond based on your response. How do you do that? Now, when they ask you that, don't start vomiting again. Ask them another question. So if I said something like, say, I'm doing real estate. Have you ever been through that dream home? You loved it. It was perfect. It was everything you ever dreamed of, but didn't think you could afford it. I make those dreams a reality. And they say, whoa, they're in the market. And they say, whoa, how do you do that? I say, well, let me ask you a few questions to see if I can help you out. What type of home are you looking for? Do you see the interview, the consulting? We're going through it. Instead of the data dump, we're finding out exactly what they need. Remember, top salespeople, listen and ask more questions. And when you ask the right questions, they'll tell you everything you need to know to persuade them. Or you can say, well, tell me exactly what you do. Then I can tell you how it applies to you. Oh, you mentioned this area. You did this. You do that. You've worked with them. What about that? Getting more information. That's your verbal business card. The reality is you have about 30 seconds to grab their attention. The reality is, like I mentioned earlier, everybody you meet can do business with you or know somebody that can. So put it out. Make a big claim. Get them to ask you more. Make sure it's truthful. Make sure you can back it up. It works. Let me talk a little bit about your homework. What I want you to do is create two separate unique business cards. Ultimately, you're going to have more. Ultimately, you're going to learn how to read people, and you're going to adjust your business card to the different people. Because my analytical friends out there are like, well, that's stupid. That wouldn't work. Well, sure, a couple issues. When you're not sincere and genuine about something, nothing's going to work. No sales skill is going to work. If they don't like you, they don't trust you, and you're not sincere and you're not genuine. But to an amiable person, a friendly person, they love these type of questions. Have you ever thought about this? Have you ever been in this situation? And build it up. They love that. Now, to an analytical person, they don't like that so much, so you need something more concrete. I increase sales by 200%. I help your business cut expenses by 47%. Just a quick number, and they can still ask the question. So try to come up with two business cards, to one for the analytical, and you'll learn how to identify these different types of personalities to the point, probably a number or statistic about saving money or making money. And then to the amiable person is more the question. Hey, have you ever been this? Have you ever noticed this? Have you ever had this happen? And they'll want to know more. Ultimately, you'll have more than this, depending on how many products and services that you have, the type of people that you meet. That first 30 seconds is a power tool. Because they've decided, not fair, I know, in that 30 seconds, probably if they're going to buy from you or not. And if you can learn to do this and grab their attention and show them how you're going to solve their problem, it will go a long way in your success and what you're able to do. Do this, create the verbal business cards, implement these power skills, quit using that knife to chop down the tree, and get the power tools, get the stick of dynamite, get the backhoe, get the chainsaw. The more tools you have, the more successful you're going to be in sales.